perish, to die, to cease to exist. Endeavor, try super hard, super assured.
Confident.
Confident. Hope. Future promise. There's our pigeon version. We're going to come back to that again. Conjecture. Supposition. We praised $1 million word with a $2 million word.
Opinion.
It's an opinion different from a belief. That's the difference between those two words. Probable. Likely. Good. It's likely to rain. Persuasion. Is a set of series or set of beliefs. Codified. Fallible. Able to make a mistake or to be wrong. Divine. Godly. Evidence. Indication of proof, right? We talked about that last week. It's not proof, it's an indication of proof. Those can be blurred. Testimony. Statement by witness who. First, yes, personal or firsthand. It's the person that saw it. What is in court is it called when I tell, if Liz tells the judge something that I said? Hearsay. Hearsay. So that's different from testimony. Is hearsay admissible in court? Witness. Oops, I gave you the answer. One who presents the evidence. Earnest. What's another promise? There's lots of promises in this section. Redemption, to buy back or release from debt. Cash in, I heard. Release from debt, buy back. Infallible. Not inability to be wrong. Essence.
The
main part of something. Most significant trait is what we put up there. Enable. We talked about this last.
To give power to,
and it means you don't have to ask for permission to act. If you're enabled, you don't have to ask permission. Back to this, Spurgeon, one of the things he wrote in that morning and evening, familiar with that, one of my favorite lines in there because it's poetic, but it's also very powerful. He says, he's talking about our confidence before the throne of grace and that we've been enabled by Christ's power to go to God. And he says we can go to God with the confidence or courage. He says confidence, I think. The confidence with which a man takes coins out of his own purse. So I'll make it modern. The confidence with which a person takes money out of their own wallet. How confident are you to take money out of your own wallet? Pretty good. If you're married, maybe different, but extraordinary. Above and beyond, beyond the call, beyond what is normal. Revelation. To make known, to reveal. What else? We're good with that? The last book in the Bible, that's correct. Make known is what we said. Diligence, loyal, close, hard, persistent effort, hard working. Maybe we should change the word persistent. That's a big word, but sustained effort, steady, serious effort. Proper.
Fit.
Yep, good. Fitting. Piece doesn't fit. Inclining. Drawn towards, so you're drawing, being drawn towards, remember we talked last week about an incline is something, is a degree of measurement of the lean of something, different from perpendicular or parallel, it's where it falls in that. But if you have something on an incline, the object that you put on it is going to be drawn towards the direction of the incline. Looseness. Lacking restraint. We talked last week about this. We're up to last week. Remember last week we talked about if we don't have a baseline or a ruler or a measuring stick of good and evil, kindness and unkindness, violence and ruthlessness versus compassion, that becomes a Who decides then if you don't have a ruler? It's up to each individual. Remember, we talked about that last week. If each person gets to decide what's best for them, then that would be the opposite of what we're talking about with this baseline. That's called, the fancy term is ethical relativism. It means your ethics are relative. They're up for discussion and debate, and really each person determines what's right and wrong. Do we have people in the world that believe in ethical relativism today?
Yes.
Is it common or less common? It's very common. Very, very common in our society is for people that, if it feels good or that's what's right for me. Are there Christians, profession Christians, people within the church, I'll say, that have ethical relativism struggles?
Yes.
What is in the church, how would that be demonstrative if somebody said something to you about maybe scripture, for instance? Observance of the Sabbath is the instance. So what might someone say about that?
That's Old Testament.
You ever heard that before? That's from the Old Testament. Just like the gifts, that's passed away. Just like that, that's type. The other one I've heard often is, well, that's just how you interpret that verse. Right? I can interpret this verse different from that. Long ago, I've told this story before, I had hair that's longer than it is now, right? And someone showed me a verse in Corinthians, I think it's in 1st, and it says what? What does the Bible say about long hair? Isn't it a shame for a man to have long hair? Is a good paraphrase. And what does it liken it to? There's a rhetorical argument in there. And it says, doesn't
nature,
right? It tells us to look at nature, and doesn't that tell you that man should not have a long hair? And what should the woman's should be their covering, right? And it says, if she doesn't have her covering, her head should be shaved, right? So the person that showed me that verse showed it to me, and I thought about it, and I asked a lot of people about it. Because basically what this person was telling me is you should cut your hair. Because that's, by the way, backing up. The first time I went to an OPC church, here's my greeting. If you haven't heard this, I went in with long hair and went through the service. Thought, well, this is interesting. And one of the older women in the church came up to me after and said, thank you for being here. No, she said, get a good Christian haircut. That's God's love right there. I felt the love, right? A little harsh, right? Never met this woman before. But so so I asked questions about that. I said, what was that all about, right? And so they were showing me the verses and stuff. And so I talked to other people about that. And what do you think they said to me, the people that disagreed? It's up to your conscience, which it is. I think it still is. That's Pharisaical legalism. Who's that guy that told you that? That's not what it's about. The other thing they said was define long, right? Define long. Mine's a little longer than Kyle's, but Rick's is shorter than mine. So, you know, who's... So Rick's a better Christian than I am, and Kyle's the worst of us, right?
You could argue that by saying, well,
Christ had long hair. Have you heard that? Yeah, because of the pictures. I've been to the Vatican. I've seen the pictures, right? Christ had long hair. The other thing they said is people had longer hair back then. Why would they archaeologically believe that?
They didn't have buzz cutters.
You know, they probably grew their hair out because it was hard to cut it. Then you look at statues from that same era in the Romans. Have you seen those guys' haircuts? They had good haircuts. I mean, they look in the statue, they look good. And the other thing was, it's Old Testament stuff. It's about fashion and culture, and you know, it's okay now because it's in for men to have longer hair. Back then it wasn't, right? So all of that is a big long discussion about one verse in the Bible, right? And all these people have differing opinions about it, and so Art said it. For me, it came down to a matter of conscience, and it was this principle. Do I want to err on the side of obedience or err on the side of righteousness? If there's any question that it might be right, and I still think there might be some wiggle room in that one, but I'm going to err on the side of obedience and say I'm going to do this. Is there any looseness in that verse we just talked about? Yes, no, maybe so. It really depends on what? On your interpretation of the scripture. And if you look at the scripture as inerrant, if it's God's word, he's talking to us and he's telling us that. So God chose by his inspiration to put that verse in there. Was that on purpose or accident?
Always,
always on purpose, so that it makes you wonder, well, why did he put it in there then?
You mentioned the idea of err on the side of righteousness. And thinking about our word here, is there another ditch that we could be erring on the side of self-righteousness?
So I'm going to interrupt you. Mr. Goddard brought up the Sabbath. What is the left ditch, the liberal ditch on the Sabbath keeping? Just the liberal version.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Why not? You're right. I can go wherever, do whatever. It's Old Testament, but they'll use a verse. They'll use Christ's words. Oh, I didn't think about that verse. The one I hear is, who was the Sabbath created for? Man. So since it's created for man, I should be able to do whatever I want to do. Christ said, Sabbath's for man, right? And then what's the other ditch? Such as, what can't you do?
Can't help somebody on the Sabbath.
Can't help somebody. Well, what should you, if you were going to be? Okay, so you can't make food. So when you wake up in the morning, what should you do if you're in that right ditch? What should you do? It's a trick question. No, you can't. Well, I guess you shouldn't even get up. No, it's a day of rest. Stay in bed all day, right? Some people are like, oh, I'm going to start my own church, right? Sundays all day. We're laughing about it because it's absurd, but it is in that far, far ditch. Should you flush the toilet? It's one I've brought up with people. There are people that have to monitor the sewers and have to take care of that, and by flushing the toilet, you are making them work. The one that's a struggle, I think, now in our modern age is getting fuel in your car. I can get petrol in my car without causing anyone more to work, right? I've gotten gas in the nighttime when the thing is shut down, like the convenience store, and you can still get that. Should you go to the ATM on the Sabbath, because there's nobody in there, you're just putting the thing in, you're just getting some money, but now you're doing commerce, oh my goodness. And I don't want to solve these today, they're good ones, I think, for us to struggle with. Self-checkout at the register, right? All these modern conveniences are creating potentially more opportunities for us to sin.
Buying online,
right? So if we come back to looseness, which is what we're talking about, the other one that I've heard is back in the Old Testament, even the New Testament, even 1,000 years ago, wait, 100 years, wait, 50 years ago, they didn't have to deal with crack cocaine. There are no verses in the Bible about crack cocaine. There's nothing specific that ignores that or that talks about that particular. There is nothing about running people over in your car either. Maybe horses. There might be something in the Old Testament Leviticus about if you run someone down with your horse. So what that point of this verse, as we look to it next, isn't about that, arguing about that line. It's about what? If we look down at the end where we stopped, I covered it up, but it says lacking restraint is what this is talking about. So what it's talking about is the fruit of the Spirit. Let's start at effort. Effort to make his calling and election sure. So that's the believer making their calling sure. And thereby his heart may be enlarged in peace, in the Holy Ghost, enlarged in the Holy Ghost, enlarged in love, enlarged in thankfulness to God, enlarged in strength, and enlarged in cheerfulness, there's six, in the duties of obedience. So if I have all these things, I have these duties that come with it because I have this Holy Spirit working in me, enlarging my heart. Think about that analogy. There's some Grinch something in there, I'm sure. The fitting fruits of this assurance. What that's talking about is there should be fruit. There should be evidence. There should be this indication of proof. Remember, that's how we define that word. There should be an indication of proof of this believer. Their behavior is this, therefore, I believe this about what they think or feel or believe. So far as it is drawing men to lacking of restraint. So it's contrasting that with the fruits that we'll have will be very evident, and we will be moving away from that lacking of restraint. So is God's word restraining? Do humans like to be restrained? Do Americans love being restrained and told what to do, right? So part of our country's ethos, our essence, to use our word, is that no one tells me what to do. Why are we like this? We're sinners. We want to be our own. How is our country founded? telling the man, the tyrant, right? There was tyranny was what they were rebelling against at the time. So was this country started by rebels?
Yes.
Has it continued to follow that rebellious, don't tell me what to do? Very selfish, independent. Have you heard this word? Independent. I think we have a declaration of independence. Is that the word? Okay. Are humans independent, created to be independent? What are they created to be? Interdependent. Interdependent. We need each other. We want each other. We want to be around other people. It's part of what makes us tick. So if we don't want to be around other people, that should be an indicator of something. Maybe selfishness, maybe pride. And I've talked about this before of my duty and role in the church a long time ago, that I used to think the church was for me. And somebody, lots of people, encouraged me that I can be a blessing just by showing up. I got it, changed my mind, but I can tell you even more now that I'm in a leadership position, that comes very, very true, because if each person makes their own independent decision not to show up to something, and I'm thinking of work right now, when I set up this huge training, I put in tons of effort, and I made it voluntary for the first time because I thought I had a bunch of adults and professionals that worked for me, and guess who showed up? About a third of the people. No, there's about a third. There's about 20. But I was expecting 60, and we had food for 60, and we had all this. And it dawned on me. And I talked to each person. And guess what each individual told me? Oh, I had this thing. I had that. I had this. I had. And they were all legitimate things, and it wasn't a sin that they didn't show up. But it drove home this point to me that each person in that meeting was important because they were there. That's not profound. I get that. But as each person makes that choice to show up to whatever it is, whether it's a training or it's a Sunday school or it's a church or a evening service like we heard about last week, could everyone come up with an excuse? Raise your hand if you can't come up with an excuse for not showing up for evening service. You can? Mr. Goddard says you can't come up with one. What about, I don't want you to answer, what about Pastor Fox? Does he have to show up for evening?
Yes.
Well, you guys could always preach.
We could always preach. Let's just give him some excuses. What could he say? What could he? I don't feel good. Allergies. I didn't get enough sleep. I'm tired of the criticism, right? I can't take it anymore, right? There's a ball game on. I don't know if he's into ball games. I took the wrong medicine, right? There's all these things. Everybody, even the pastor, could come up with an excuse why they don't show up. And that doesn't mean if somebody has a legitimate reason why they don't show up, they don't show up. One of the things the elders and your pastor pray for regularly, and I heard it this morning, Bob's prayer. Did you hear what he prayed for me?
Wisdom.
He prayed for something special. Anybody like seconds when they eat their food? You give them the dessert, seconds? He prayed for a double blessing for me. Pretty cool, right? Double. So that means everybody's getting a helping, but I'm going to get double because I'm in this different kind of role. So think about that. What your elders pray for you regularly is that a special blessing, a double blessing for the people that made this effort to show up. Do you think God hears prayers? Do you think he answers prayers, right? One more thing on that. I heard this a long time ago, and I didn't believe it. I heard people tell me, if you keep the Sabbath holy and really endeavor to do that, God will give you more time. And I guess what I thought in my logical brain? It's not possible. There's only 24 hours in a day. Everybody has the same 24 hours, right? And what I've learned and can tell you is I have evidence, anecdotal from my life, that if I do am faithful in doing that, I get all my stuff done in those hours. When I don't, guess what? I'm overwhelmed, right? I have too much stuff. So I might have the temptation to, I gotta remember to send that thing because Miguel's going to be there at 4 tomorrow, and I got to make sure he knows that the boiler is blah, 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 blah. I wish I would have charted it or videoed it, but I can tell you the times I've done that, guess what happened on Monday? A lot of other bad stuff. So I was trying to save those 5 precious minutes, and then that Monday just blew up. We lost water pressure, and this thing broke, and somebody got hurt, and all these kind of things that went on. What it all comes back to is those fruits in each one of us. Last piece on this, we've talked about the continuum, the sanctification of a person. So when you have a new believer, they just understood the gospel, is the first thing you should hit them with is Sunday evening attendance is the most important thing in your life.
No, it should be the hair.
It should be the hair. Hair first, then keeping the Sabbath, right? We have the tendency to do that as Christians, do we not? And I still remember vividly sitting in customer service with a non-believer asking, a gentleman in the plant was listening to the Bible in his cassette tape thing. Shows how old the story is. Someone else drove his car, came in and asked the group, why would someone listen to somebody else reading the Bible to them in the car? And I was like, oh, I can talk about this. And I was going to say something to the effect of, Christians believe the Bible is the word of God. We believe it's God talking. And he's God, and he's perfect, and all of these attributes. And so it's a chance to listen to God, really, is what we think. And I went, and someone else jumped up and lectured him about tithing for about 20 minutes. Not kidding. And guess how that worked for this guy? Not so well, right? I heard about it later, back channel from people. And then I chose at that point to go try to talk to this person, and he didn't want to hear it. He didn't want to hear from any of us. I don't hear from any of you guys, any of you. Right, Kyle.
I was thinking about how we're commanded to put off the old man, which is to say, become more like Christ, mm-hmm. put off sin in our lives, and how we often pray for God to reveal the sin in our lives in a way that we can address it, in a way that he gives us the ability to address it. And we also talk about how if God exposed us to the exceeding sinfulness of our own sin, it would destroy us. It would probably kill us. And as Christians, we need to, who wish to witness or who wish to talk to others, we need to pray that we have the spiritual maturity to recognize that what God is commanding me to put off and what God is showing me that I need to put off is not what he's even showing and commanding Liz to put off right now. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that Liz is more or less like Christ than I am? No, that just means that what God is showing us in our sanctification is personal. And if we hear something about a coworker or whatever, we need to pray that God would show us. We may be the instrument by which God reveals an area of growth mm-hmm. to someone else, which is God doing it, not us. So me coming in and going, let me tell you about all the sins I'm working on because you should be working on them too. That's not, I don't think that's a biblical approach. It's just not.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I don't think so. Good point. And that, the one thing that hit me when you're talking was that the normal part, which is a strange word, right? Because if I call you abnormal, what's the first thing we usually think of? Positive or negative?
Negative,
right? Abnormal means not, so are Christians abnormal?
Yes.
Right? Unnatural, right? We should be, if we're living by Christ. If our behavior is godly, we are exhibiting unnatural behavior. Right? Let it sink in. Unnatural behavior. It's not normal behavior. That's a positive thing. Because our natural man, our fleshly state, he talked about dying to sin, that part of us, that essence of us is more and more dead as we become more and more righteous and exhibit these fruits that this is talking about as evidence. The reason I wanted to talk about this at length is to balance that equation between being chosen and being arrogant about that. There's a song that we sing, and it always kind of makes me cringe, and I can't remember what song it is. It's a hymn. It says, la, 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 that all the chosen race. Why does that make me cringe? Why? Has any group in history used the term chosen race before?
Yes.
The Jews, and then who else?
Like Hitler.
The opposite of the Jews, Hitler, right? This is the chosen race. It's not what it means, but I could see it triggering somebody going, they think they're the chosen race? And by saying, we'll use Hitler, by him saying he's the chosen race or his group, these Nordic whatever people he said, what was he saying about the other people?
They're not,
right? It's very polarizing. So when we say we're chosen by God and we act like it's something special in us, that's a problem. It's a problem for us because it's unrighteous, but it's also a problem for other people. So to Kyle's point, one other thing I heard him say was that humility of spirit, it's not because of me. Actually, I don't know why I'm chosen. It's a mystery to me. I'm talking personally. Why would he choose this guy, right? thankful he did. So, all right. So here's the summary of what we talked about, which should fit the pigeon version. Believers can find out about and enjoy the Holy Spirit by simply reading the Bible and praying. Pretty simple. The means of grace they're talked about, that's what it says in the portion there. So, because we have that ability, is what the so part is, we have this ability to learn about the Holy Spirit and enjoy Him and learn about God. So, believers should work, I use that word on purpose, work at doing this every day. Is it work to read your Bible?
Yes.
Sometimes, good point, yeah, sometimes. But it's and I don't mean work in terms of, when I say work, it's not a bad thing.
It takes effort.
You have to set aside the time. You have to get in a place where you can read and not be distracted. So there's work, effort that goes into doing that. So, and then the everyday part, is that important?
Yes.
Why?
It's your food, it's your nourishment.
It's your nourishment. I love that example. It's the daily bread, right? It's our food, it's our nourishment. We might think about vitamins and have this opinion that they're good or bad or they're not necessary or they are. But if you can suspend that, that minimum daily allowance that's in a vitamin pill, supposed to be in there, is what you, quote, need for your health and for your body. So if you think about the scripture, we should be getting our minimum daily allowance. Is that the same for everybody?
No.
Right, it's not. Just like with body chemistry, it's not. Not everybody is the exact same. If you don't have time and you can just read a verse, is that better than not reading a verse?
Yes.
Good answer, yes. It's the same sickness that I fall into with exercise. Well, if I can't get an hour in and can't get like really, I might as well not even do it because, you know, it doesn't do any good, right? Yeah, yeah. If I can do 2 hours, right? So then I neglect it. Okay, so what this is pointing out, the top portion, is that we have the scripture, and that is our source of finding out about God and the Holy Spirit and enlarging our heart and our thankfulness and our cheerfulness and all those things below. We should work at it every day. By doing this, believers will see an increase in this, the fitting fruits of assurance, I added, which are far from sin. So the fitting fruits of assurance, remember that's what this section is about our assurance. These are the fitting fruits. It's what you get. Right? If you want to look at it as transactional, which it's not, but if you want to look at it as transactional, if I do these things, if I read the Bible, I will get the Holy Spirit. Good thing?
Yes.
Okay. I will get love. I will get peace. I will get thankfulness. And I will get strong and cheerful obedience. I want to talk about two things, peace and strong and cheerful. So the peace that we get from God, what descriptors do we have of it from Scripture? It passes all human understanding. It says understanding is what the verse is. It passes all understanding, human understanding. We cannot understand it. Hard for us to understand that we can't understand something. But it's beyond comprehension. If you've ever had this experience or been a part of someone that's had it, and it's usually funeral time, I have one coming up on a Saturday where I'm supposed to speak, and I don't know what to talk about. I'm not sure what to talk about. And now I know what to talk about, so I'm getting my thoughts together, what I'm going to say. But it's about peace is the main thing I'm going to talk about. This person was a believer, and not everybody in that area that we're going to be is a believer, I don't believe. So that's an interesting position to be talking to a group. You have this believer group, and you have this non-believer group. So I made my decision. What group am I talking to?
All of them.
I will be talking to all of them. What is my intended audience? Who am I directing my thoughts and feelings and discussion points at? Actually, the believers. You know why? Because I know them, and I know what they know, and I'm going to talk to them, and the family is believers. So I'm talking to the family is what I decided. And the peace I got from that was just, I got this. And because, anybody want to take a guess why I didn't have peace? It's similar to something Kyle was talking about.
I wanted
to fix all them. I was going to be the Billy Graham of Turlock. I was going to walk in there, and we're going to have an altar call. And if I didn't do it right, it's a lot of pressure, right? So immediately when I thought, I'm just going to talk to this family who are believers about the scripture, and I have the scriptures picked and their scripture, and they believe it already. Is that a comfort for them? I hope so. Does it grant them peace? I hope so. I hope peace that passes all understanding. What else do we know about his peace? It's perfect. God says, I will keep you in perfect peace. There's a prerequisite. If you keep your mind stayed on me, keep thinking about God all the time, I will keep you in peace. Practical application. If you're having that bad day, stuff's blowing up, nothing's going right, the printer doesn't work, somebody's getting hurt, the water main broke, the whatever happened, the dog got out, whether it's big or little, what should our first thought be if we want that peace? God. Think about God, right? Why is God putting me in this position? What am I supposed to learn? I'm thankful for this situation with the dog getting out or the water spraying everywhere, whatever. I'm really thankful for that. Is that our natural inclination? No. But if we do that, God grants us, he promises, he'll grant us peace. Perfect peace that passes all understanding. And to me, it's a mystery why I don't take advantage of that more. Because I believe it and I know it's there. You'd think I'd jump at every opportunity to get that peace in my life. But I don't. I panic. I worry. I'm selfish. I'm arrogant. I think about, well, I got to fix this rather than praying about it. And the times in my life where I've been able to do that by God's grace are impactful. But more impactful is when I see other people that do that. My father-in-law used to do it. He taught me a long time ago. I was going to say when I was this big. I wasn't this big. In my brain, I was this big. And I'd lose my keys and be like, where are my keys? I just had them. And guess what he would say? He'd ask me a question. Have you prayed about it? Well, no, because it's just keys. And God doesn't, I didn't say this, but in my head I was like, it's just keys. God doesn't care where my keys are, right? And little things like that, and little by little, it dawned on me. He does care where my keys are. And he does want me to learn something through this. I think you have the stick.
I was thinking about when you talked about, it's just keys. And we were talking about how the Sabbath, you know, making time, somehow you have more time, you get stuff done. Well, I also think of the verse, if we're faithful in the little things, we'll be faithful in the great things. If we're faithful to bring even the small things before the Lord, and he blesses us with those few extra minutes every day, how much time to read scripture would we suddenly have if we didn't have to look for our keys because God had helped us put them where we would 100%. Get them?
And the other point is it's like drill. That's what I took away from it. Is when you're drilling in something, I mean, doing it over and 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 over. And I'll use warrior culture. They drill over and over and over and over and over. And why do they do that? So they don't have to think about it. So you don't have to think, what do I do? You just act. And I've talked to people that say that. They said when they're in that situation, they just, the training kicked in. Have you heard that? My training kicked in. It's because of that drill. So if we drill on asking for our keys, which isn't a huge crisis, or you know whatever our small crises are, if we drill on those, when the big ones hit and we don't have time to think, we choose not to think, but if we don't have time to think, I hope the training kicks in, right? And I think first thing I should do is pray, because I prayed for the keys and I prayed when I dropped that ice cube and couldn't find where it went and whatever little thing we had. Second piece, strong and cheerful obedience. Is there a difference between obedience and cheerful obedience?
Yes.
I heard the mom really loud on that one. I heard the mom speaking up, right? Definite difference. And you can see it on their countenance, can you not? The children's, when they do it. There's a little short video that I really like, and it's a kid, and he's throwing the trash away, and he's sweeping up, and he's doing chores. And it's just little clips to show he's doing all these chores. And then he goes in his room, and he's like, and he lays down in his bed, and he hears his mom scream his name. I don't remember his name. Kyle! And he jumps up and throws his hat, and he opens the door and goes, yes, Mom? Well-trained child, right? Was that cheerful obedience?
No.
No, he was angry. He didn't want to do that stuff. He just did all his chores. He's finally going to take a nap. And he's upset and he's angry. Is that righteousness when we are not cheerfully obedient? Obedient but not cheerful?
No.
I heard a no. I heard a not really. I heard a mumble. I heard a no. Have you heard this? Do the right thing, the right way,
for the right reason.
And the international paper added all the time. By the way, I haven't said this. That's International's IP way forward. That is our slogan for our company. Do the right thing, the right way, for the right reasons all the time. What do you think about our CEO's belief system? What might you surmise or guess? Never talked to him, don't know him, but when I heard that, I went, hey, he stole that, and then, hey, I like that. So Does everybody in the company believe and follow that, do you think?
No.
Good answer. Bad answer, but correct answer. All right, so any other comments on this? Because I think we're going to get into 17:4 next, and I have 1 minute left. Kyle, can you slide the mic over to... Seven days without prayer and scripture makes 1 week. You guys aren't laughing. 7 days without prayer and scripture makes one not strong. Or 1 week, one week, a week. 7 days, a week, 7 days is a week. All right, I'm seeing some chuckles, so we're getting it. It makes you very weak in terms of strength versus weakness, but it also makes 1 week because it's 7 days, which is a week in time, chronologically. Now it's really funny. Puns you either get or you don't. Well, that's jokes in general, I think. So. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that does give us peace, gives us comfort, gives us the ability we have if we have.